Everybody good today?
All
right. My voice is struggling, so if you're having a hard time hearing me and want to scoot up, get a little closer. But I believe God has a word for us this morning. We're starting Psalm 14. It says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and they do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt, and there is none who does good, not even one. Have they no knowledge? All the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord. They're in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You would shame the plans of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. And when the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad." Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this day. The word that we got at the end of last week's service was freedom. I believe that you have come to set the captives free today. God, I believe that there are many within this circle today, myself included, that God have been wrapped up and caught up in trying to earn your approval, trying to make it on our own, as Jesse prayed, or hoping that if we would just be good enough, God, that would count. Help us to see today that really, it's not about religion, it's about relationship. And so we thank you for the opportunity to be a sinful people to call out Father, and that you, through Jesus, are faithful to call back Son or Daughter. Bless this time, God, that you would speak this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we see in this psalm, I want to take you to the book of Romans. You don't have to turn there if you don't have a Bible with you. But I'm going to read from Romans chapter 3. And as I do this, you're going to see some of the psalm that was read just a moment ago, and see that the Apostle Paul has some of the same wording. And so it's kind of a big deal. I don't know about you, but when somebody continues to repeat something over and over, it kind of goes without saying that it must be of some importance. Wouldn't you say that? If you hear something over and over, you hear the same message, that there's got to be something to it. See if this sounds familiar from what we just read. This is in Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 10. "As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." And I want to tell you, it's not a difficult thing to look around in our world and see that we live in a world where we see a wicked world. Amen? Everybody agree with that?
Yeah.
It's real easy to look around and see that. And we see that here in the Psalms that David is saying this, that there is none righteous, no, not one. Paul continues to say this in Romans. And I'm a real simple guy, but I love to look up the definition of simple words. And here's what the definition of none is. You know, they say, why do you look up none? I think sometimes the meanings of words get lost on us. Here's what it means. Not any. No amount at all. Zero. Zip. None. Nada. All right, so I want to take you to a place here. I want you to just think about, if we look in this passage, if we see this in Psalms, and then we go to Romans, and then if we dig a little bit deeper, Isaiah in Isaiah 64 says this, that our righteousness is like a polluted garment, like filthy rags. You understand that the best we have to muster, the best of our righteousness, is not good enough, because here it even points out, it says that there is no one righteous, not one. I want you to just hear me on this morning, okay? Guys, I want you to listen to me. Guys, listen up. I want you to hear me on this. When you hear the word none, I want you just to look around this morning. Brantley, wave your hand back there. I see Brantley. Brantley's a good dude, but Brantley's not righteous. You see, I know that because the Word tells us that no one is righteous, no, not one. Daryl? Daryl's not righteous. No, not one. Bo? Miss Mitzi? Jesse? It doesn't take much to say Jesse's not righteous, right? Joe? Blake? Where you at, Blake? I know Blake since he was a little boy. He came and surprised me today. Grown man now. Makes me feel old. No one is righteous, no, not one. That means that if you look around this circle today, I don't know how many people are here, but I want you to look around. If you are a someone, a person, I want you to raise your hand. I may not call you by name, but if you're raising your hand this morning, you are not righteous. No, not one. None of us are righteous. Righteousness is the state of being holy and pure. And if none of us are righteous and pure, there is big trouble, because here are the words of Jesus himself. Jesus says in Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the righteous, blessed are the holy, for they shall see God." Now, I don't know if you understand this or if you see this, but there is big problems here this morning. If we can read a passage and say that there are none righteous, no, not one, and then we read a passage that says the only people that will see God are the righteous, then we're in big trouble. That means that nobody here, anybody that raised their hand and says, "I'm a somebody this morning, I got a name, I got an identity," if we would say, "I'm not righteous based on what Scripture says, that no one is righteous, no one is pure, no one is holy, but then only the pure and holy see God," then there is big trouble. David, Paul, Isaiah all point out that none are pure, no, not one. Psalm 14 continues to tell us this. It says that there is a greediness in our world, and we can see this very easily, but we see a greediness that, it says, eats up people like a hungry man devours bread. We see it. We see that there are none of us that are righteous. I don't know about you, but that kind of troubles me, that if we have to be pure to see God, but then yet none of us are pure, what do we do? In fact, it goes on to tell us in the Word, 1 Corinthians 6:9 tells us this about the unrighteous. So that would be us, right? If none of us are righteous, we are the unrighteous. It says in Scripture, it says, "None are righteous, no, not one. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God." If we're all unrighteous, then we will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, we are the unrighteous before God gets a hold of us. Jesse, you and I talk about this, and we've said this statement before. You said it. Jesus changes everything. I want you to know here this morning that no matter if you raise your hand and say, "Man, I'm not righteous. I can't do it on my own," Scripture tells me that. David, Paul, Isaiah, they all say that none of us are righteous, not even one person. But Jesus changes everything. He absolutely changes everything. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us. "For our sake." Anybody here a member of the tribe called "our"? That is you. If you have a pulse this morning, you are one of these. It says, "For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." I want you to see what's happening here. I want you to just track with me here just a second, to understand and reach a place right here where we can say that none of us are righteous. Not one person is righteous. Not one person is holy. Not one person is pure. None of us. David says it. Paul says it. Isaiah says it. Scripture says it over and over and over, that we cannot be holy on our own. But there was a moment. "Made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There is a way that we can be righteous. And I want to almost just offer this word as we think about the word freedom that we said last week. There's freedom in understanding that you can't do a thing to make yourself righteous. You could give up the rest of your life right now and say, I'm going to just help people the rest of my life. I'm going to sell everything I own and I'm going to take care of people. Won't make you righteous. Scripture tells us that there is no one that is righteous. No, not one. But there is this great exchange in Scripture. I want you to picture this, if you will, because there is an opportunity here for those of us that would say, I cannot be righteous, that we can become the righteousness of God. Listen to this great exchange. If you're a bargain shopper, if you're a hunter of good deals, there is no better deal on the market than this, that Jesus Christ himself, the only pure, the only righteous, laid down his righteousness to pick up your sin. And he laid down his purity. He laid down his holiness. He humbled himself, as Philippians says, to the point of death, even to death on a cross for you and for me, for our sake. He laid down his righteousness to pick up your sin. I want to tell you, that's an amazing deal. Listen to me with this. If honestly, if it would have stopped right there, that would have been beyond fair. It would have been beyond fair for Jesus to say, just one time, I'm going to give you one shot here. I'm going to lay down my righteousness, and I'm going to take up all the sins you've committed. But from here on out, you've got to get it right. I'm going to give you a second chance. And see, that's not the only thing that happened. We have the ability to make the exchange of this, that not only did he lay down his righteousness and pick up your sin, that you could lay down your sin and pick up his righteousness. Amen? And so by this great exchange, this laying down of our sin and picking up his righteousness. Remember, it is a big deal to be righteous, because righteous people inherit the kingdom of God. To become the righteousness of God, you are not righteous on your own. But through the love of Jesus, this is good news. You can be the righteousness of God. So what I want you to do is, in this moment, there may be things playing in your head. There may be voices that the enemy is trying to speak. There may be voices that have been spoken over you, and curses and words that have been placed in your life, that you would come to a place and say, you don't know what I've done. I will never be considered righteous. You cannot be righteous on your own. It doesn't matter. I say it all the time, it doesn't matter what you've done, what you're doing, or what you will do. It has no bearing on the fact that you can be the righteousness of God, and it has nothing to do with you at all. It's the fact that you understand this exchange, that Jesus humbled himself to the point of death, laying down his righteousness to pick up your sin, allowing you to lay down your sin and pick up his righteousness. Anybody think that sounds like a good deal? I want to speak to you this morning and tell you this. This morning, I believe, I just want to say this. I even think the attack on my voice is for some not to hear this morning. Because there's some that need to hear the idea of this. And for the first time in your life, you need to make that exchange. To lay down your sin and pick up the righteousness of God. I understand the gift that was given. But I want to speak to you, if you've already done this, if there's believers in this circle that have already done this, have already came to a place at the end of themselves and said, I can't do it on my own. I want us to start living in that. See, what we do, man, we feel like we got to keep earning in there. If I just put the right, it's like, anybody ever been to a vending machine? Anybody ever been to a vending machine? What do? You put the money in, you hope it counts it right, you put the change in, you press B4. B4 is probably something amazing. It's like Oreos or something. Great, right? And you put B4 in, and everybody's been there. Everybody's been to the most horrible moment where the little spiral thing goes and the Oreos get right to the end and you spent your last change and the Oreos are still in there. And we've all done it. We've rocked the machine and you know, trying to do that. And some of us view God that way. He's like this cosmic vending machine. If I hit the right buttons, if I put in the right amount of coins, if I do the right dance, if I shake the machine the right way, then he's going to be pleased with me enough. I want to tell you that good news doesn't stop at the moment of salvation. The good news continues to the point of this, that it has already been paid for you. Live in that. There's freedom in that. That doesn't take us to a place where we say, man, I can just sin and do what I want to because it's paid for. No, we're truly missing it if that's the point. We get to a place where we say, I love that good, that's why I would serve it. Love that's good, that's why I would tell others about it. Love that good is why I would put others before myself. Because of the great exchange. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me just a minute? And Jesse's going to play. I just want to ask you this morning. Have you made that exchange? I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about being a member of a church. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. It has nothing to do with it. We're talking about doing good deeds, memorizing Bible verses, saying the right prayer. Doesn't matter. And you came to a place where you understand the exchange that was made for you. That Jesus himself, the perfect and pure and holy Jesus Christ, laid down his righteousness in a just unbelievable picture of humility. To the point of death, Philippians tells us that. Death on a cross, the most humiliating death that could be done. Why? It's not something Jesus wanted to do. See him praying in the garden. He didn't want to be separated from God. He didn't want to feel the physical pain of that, but he did so because he laid down his righteousness and took on your sin so that you could lay your sin down and say, I want that righteousness of God. So here's what the deal is on that exchange. I want to tell you that the greatest deal that's ever made is the idea that no matter what you've done, but if you make that exchange, that God looks at you as the righteousness of Jesus and not the things you've done. I want everybody to look this way real quick. You are not defined by the choices you have made in your life. Let me have the final say. The final say is this, that for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the final say. Would you make that exchange? And if you made it, would you live in it? Would you quit playing the religious game and feeling like you got to do more? And doing more comes out of the idea of just understanding what a great love we've been rescued by. Well, I think God's moving in this moment. I just want to ask you, before Jesse plays, I just want to pray. Would you bow your heads with me? God, I don't know what you want to do with this from here. I just know that even the fact of just not feeling 100% today, I've been so excited about delivering this word that I feel like you gave me from this. We can't be righteous on our own. There's nothing we can do on our own. God, without Jesus, there's no hope in that. We're screwed. Oh, God, with you, the fact that you would lay down your righteousness and pick up our sin, and that we could lay down our sin and pick up your righteousness, I don't know why we wouldn't do that. I pray that today's the first time, if someone's never done that, at least begin to explore that story, that at least begin to start walking in that. And Father, for those that have, maybe for years, it's just become churchese that we speak, or an old story that we've heard. I pray that it becomes new, and we understand the exchange that was made on our behalf for our sake. We love you. I pray that you speak during this time. If anyone needs to speak to someone, they would grab someone, they would pray with them. God, you want to set people free today. You want to bind up the brokenhearted. You want to set captives free today. You do that because of your gospel, your good news, that we can become the righteousness of God. The ones who are unrighteous, no, not one, become the righteousness of God. Thank you, God, for that. It's an amazing story. We love you.